Europeans into a new Europe.
The podcast about inspiring projects
all over Europe with Jana,
José,
Paula,
Roxana.
So hello, here is Roxana. Today in the episode European into a new Europe, we have Tana from Europools, and we wanted to introduce you very interesting problem and very interesting organization. So let's start to a little bit introduce. Maybe you can introduce a little bit yourself and the organization. What are the main ideas stand for Europools in Romania, and how do you start doing your project?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Roxana, for the invitation. It's actually a pleasure to discuss with you, and I'm very eager to share, my whole story and the story of Europools today. So indeed, I'm Tana, I'm 29 years old, and I'm the director of Europools, Center of European Expertise. This is an NGO that was founded back in 2010. By a group of Romanian young experts that, they had just graduated and they were working in Brussels. And it was back then, Romania has just become a new member of the European Union in 2007. So, the whole European Union culture and, we could say formally acquis, but it was more like, the spirit was present there in Romania, but the information not that much. So this group of young people thought that since they were studying already this, or they were already, working in Brussels, and they were, seeing with their own eyes what's happening there, they thought that it would be good to bring actually the EU topics closer to the Romanian citizens. And they started, timidly, because they were, just a group of young professionals. So they scrapped like something of a, some objectives here and there. They started to see how exactly they could fund this this NGO, and they managed to do it. And then, step by step, this is how the story began. Now, of course, after so many years, we are having already almost 13 years of activity. The story is getting better and better, but this is like, the sneak preview. And I was very, interested by this, the activity of this NGO. And it was presented to me as I was a student. I was a master degree student here in Brussels. And, I heard about this opportunity and I thought, wow, that would be so great. I mean, to write about what's happening here, in Romania, and to organize debates and to, share my knowledge and my interest points with the people in Romania. So this is how I ended up actually in Europools and never left since then,
It's for me very interesting, like, the NGOs fill the gap between government and citizens. And how it's problem to explain Europeans, all Europeans. I think so. We have also in Poland this problem. What is European Union? What is the policy of European Union? Why we are in European Union? Because, for example, in Poland, this stereotypes like European Union money, and why we should be one community, of course, different community, because every country has own flowers, own society, but how we can be Europeans. I want to, the second question is about what's, for me it's interesting, because when I met this topic, I was a little bit confused. What is exactly European policy, what policies? And maybe you can also focus in your answer about the policy connected with young people. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you know better this in this, or your policy, your favorite policy for you. Just take care about this.
Yes, absolutely. I will do my best to explain, because there are a lot of things that we're doing at Europools in terms of policies. But first, what I wanted to say is very interesting. How you started and saying that the NGOs are filling the gap. Actually, when somebody asks me what we're doing and what's our purpose, I'm saying, and I'm telling them something similar to what you're saying, in the sense that if we had full transparency and full information from you know, the national governments, from the local regional authorities, and from the European Union, and this connection between citizens and institutions would be, you know, perfect, our NGO would not exist. So basically, this is what exactly how you're saying that we're filling the gap and we're doing what it's not being done. So for us, this is exactly what we're doing. We're trying to fill in the gap, but also to bring the hot topics in Romania, because I think that one of the biggest issues that that we have is not only the fact that, as you say, we are just having stereotypes of what the European Union means. You know, for us, it's the same in Romania. Basically, the European Union is money. Well, now in the current debate is a bit more than that, because we're having some tensions with the Schengen decision that has just been, you know, given recently, unfortunately. But apart from that, you know, it's the same. European Union is money, and that's it, full stop. So what we do is that we want to show through the network of experts that we have. We are gathering experts that are working in Brussels, you know, either in institutions or in other lobby organizations, or they're just young graduates and young professionals that want to work for Europools. And, you know, they are using their free time and their expertise to bring, as you say, European policies in the European, in Romania. For instance, and I will give you a very concrete example, we have started talking about, you know, the green transition and sustainability way before, you know, the Green Deal. So it was, you know, I think 1 or 2 years before, because we had some experts that were working close to the European Union in some sort of a, you know, research project. And they were telling us, you know, it's very bad. It's very bad. We really have to start implementing environmental policies. And we brought this topic into the Romanian, you know, public. We organized a debate. And we brought it there, and actually we didn't have that much interest. You know, I mean, people in Romania, they were just, yeah, but you know, I mean, it's sustainability. It's not, is it energy or what exactly are you discussing about? No, it's about, you know, the environment, the green transition. Yeah, but well, I mean, and is it bringing like something, you know, in terms of profit for energy? No, it's not about that. But it was very complicated to do this. But you have to be a pioneer, and when you're a pioneer, you assume that at the beginning you just have to test elements to see what it works. Now, with all the work that we have been doing in the past years, we managed to organize the largest forum on EU affairs in Romania for over a decade already. And in this forum, we are gathering, I think, generally 10 to 12 European policies that we are discussing together with the citizens. So the citizens are in full dialogue with the decision makers. And the way that we are doing this is that we are connecting people that are interested, but we also give like free possibility for citizens that are interested in the topic to join. And since you asked me what exactly is a European policy or how exactly we define it, we just try to see a topic that is being discussed, or, you know, let's say a trend, for instance, that is being discussed at the European level, and to transform it in what would be the benefits for Romania, what would be the challenges, and why this policy should be implemented there. In terms of, I gave you this example with sustainability, but I can also talk about the digital policies. I could talk, for instance, and you mentioned already the policies related to the youth, you know, priorities and challenges that they are facing. Here again, we are focusing, we had, for instance, this year at the forum, 3 workshops with young people that discussed about future of work linked to the educational system. So just putting the bridge there, they talked about skills, they talked about mental health, they talked about everything that's related to the challenges that they are facing in terms of, you know, social security. And it was great because, you know, we brought decision makers there not to, you know, deliver their speeches, but actually to listen. So it was actually for the first time that they just had to stay there, and all the young people that were grouped in different workshops, they were brainstorming together, and we were taking the decision makers just to listen to each of the tables to and to, you know, provide input, but at the end. And it was a great way of, you know, of making them feel engaged and to be listened, not only, you know, delivering speeches and that's it.
So I have a question related to this, because I understand when you talk to young people, for example, in the workshop, you use another language to another thing to convince young people to more engage in this, or not only young people, just citizens, old citizens.
Of course.
But you have also, like you said about this workshop, where it's the people who are making decision. How do you get to this? Guys, I just imagine that guys, women, men who are, I think, so very focused on the local politics, I mean, Romania politics, don't, maybe they care about European Union, but they care more for the voters. They don't focus so much on European level. How do you want to ask them to more engage in this European policy in Romania?
That's a very good question, because that's always the challenge. You know, when we are coming with the topics, we are coming first with the European dimension. So we're saying we need to discuss about this. And then we have and we brainstorm a lot in order to find the decision makers that are really capable of, you know, not getting there and delivering a speech, but to engage in a discussion and in a full debate with not only with the citizens that are present, but also with the EU experts on the field. So the way that we are doing and bringing this EU dimension, and to make sure that there is not only the local and or the national decision maker that is talking about the topic, is that for each panel, we are trying to find experts at EU level, from the European Parliament, from the European Commission, from the you know, largest you know, organizations, or it depends, regardless of what we speak of. I don't know, if we speak on economic policies, we also try to find you know, people from some large group bank enterprises, or so people that are really interested and they can bring different perspectives at the table. So it's never just a national politician talking, but actually the focus is on the experts, or the, you know, MEPs, or even the commissioners, because we also have commissioners coming to our forum. They are actually in the spotlight, not necessarily you know, the national politicians. And this is the first challenge. The second challenge is, and the second, so to say, solution to this challenge is the fact that we are making sure that always the people that moderate these debates are from Europols, and are the people that actually, you know, envisaged the concept, worked about on the concept of the debate. They are the ones that are, you know, finding the speakers, and they're, because, you know, they're having already in their mind how exactly this should develop. So it would be wrong to give, you know, the debate to someone else to moderate if that person is already, you know, knows what exactly they want to take out as conclusions. And they also, you know, are able to steer a bit the debate. And we are training them a lot. So it's also about empowerment, because they're all of them, they're young people. I mean, just like us. And we are empowering them. I mean, we're having trainings with them. We're preparing them on how to become moderators and how to avoid some situations, how to respond to some challenges. And they're doing a great job. So it's all about empowerment, here. And I think that this is the way forward, because this is how you bridge actually the language. If you put a young person to moderate a debate, you will see that actually, if they are well prepared, and especially if they're the ones that worked to make it happen, the debate will be successful, like already, you know, even before it started, because they know how to, you know, what to take out of it. And it's mind blowing actually to see. That people are really taking it very seriously, and they're doing a great job. Every time the quality of the debates is actually one. It's the most you know, important thing that is being praised as feedback. So every time the feedback that we had for the forum is the fact that we're having high quality debates, and that's actually great for us, because we're a center of expertise. So
I have two questions. connected with what you say. First question is, okay, we have a politicians, we have experts, we have your commission, we have young people who are naturally engaged more in the political stuff. But do you have some action for the people who maybe benefits from the European policy, but for example, they are from villages, adults who are not living in a big city, but maybe, I don't know, mayor or smaller village somewhere, and he or she should know what's happened, because, for example, Green Deal, it's connected, it's for everyone, makes a lot of challenges, even for the small place, or, yes, so this is my first question for...
Definitely, and it's a very important thing. Now, you know, as an NGO, especially when you know, you're struggling every time to have as many volunteers as possible, we had to focus mainly on Bucharest with the event, which is, by the way, live streamed in any case, so people can see it in any case live on social media, regardless of their city. But we are focusing on Bucharest first because this is how we, you know, we managed to pull the resources up to finance this important forum. But from this year onwards, because, you know, we already have a decade of forum in Bucharest, so we have, as a, you know, as a milestone and as a goal in 2023, that the 11th edition will be that our forum goes local. So indeed, we are currently discussing with several, you know, regional and local authorities in order to be able to host this forum in different other cities from Romania, so that we are able to also bring that information there. And we saw indeed what you are saying about the interest that people have in you know, smaller regions or smaller cities and so on from Romania in this opportunities that are coming from the European Union. We saw it during the pandemic, because during the pandemic, you know, that we were not able to organize physical events. So we moved completely the forum online. And the idea that we had was to fully take advantage of that. And we had, and it was again a pilot coming from one of our young people. They said that they would really like to see mayors from our, you know, cities or villages discussing live with other mayors from other cities across Europe. And, you know, this came from a young person again. Exactly. So we said, because I have a policy of not saying no. So I'm very well known in my organization for always saying yes to the projects and to say, yes, let's make it happen. So we started brainstorming how to do it. And actually, we found a very innovative way, and it has success from two points of view. So first, we bridged. We have a mayor that is actually German, as his origin is German, and he's running a city in Romania. And we connected him with another mayor from a German town, but who has Romanian roots. So basically, they were discussing together. So they were like, you know, short discussions of, I don't know, 45 minutes or maximum 1 hour, in which they tried to, you know, make a twinning. It was like a twinning project that they tried to brainstorm together. Then we had indeed the two other mayors, one from Rotterdam, other from another city in Romania, from Cluj, discussing again together. And then we had a mayor from a village that is actually one of the most developed villages that we have in Romania, discussing again with another mayor from another village. So we even thought about, you know, the population and the surface as well, so that they are very similar. So they discussed together, you know, the projects that they're doing, each of them, what are the lessons learned, and so on. And it was great because it was prior to local elections. So basically all the mayors were broadcasting this on their Facebook pages. So everyone in the cities were following this. And it was really, really great as an idea. And yeah, we saw that it was working. So it was one of the most successful and interesting and dynamic debates that we had. back then. So yeah.
So it's very, very interesting, especially I think maybe I'm not very in this topic, but I just imagine in another country also there is not so much deep discussion about the European policy. So this meeting two people with two different countries, but in the same European Union, maybe open the eyes, or maybe have more connection, like maybe it brings more action in real life, not only online, but maybe they inspire each other. I have two last questions. One question is about volunteering. You say about young people who just have a great ideas, who are coming to your NGOs and say, yeah, we want to, for example, make online meetings with the mayors or the chef of villages or towns around the Europe. So say me, how the young people, for example, in Romania can join to you? Maybe they have time because they are students, or maybe are high school. How they could join to you, or maybe somebody adult, like after who just working, how the people can join to you? And maybe another add question, how the people who, for example, don't have time could support you?
Yeah, two very, very on the spot questions. So for the first, for the young people, indeed, as you mentioned, they are, so to say, let's make the distinction between the students and the you know, the young people that are still in school, so studying. Well, they we are already connected with a lot of youth associations, national and local associations in Romania, and we always provide trainings about the European Union. We provide workshops to them. We are making, you know, small game simulations about the European Union, and they're having a lot of fun on this. It's super addictive, I have to say. And every time that we're going there, they're asking the same question, that they want to be a volunteer. So for the volunteering part, I mean, it's just enough for them to express their interest on our website, www.europuls.ro. Or they can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, because we have communication officers who are, you know, under 20, so they already pressured us to also have a TikTok channel, which is extremely successful for over 2 or 3 weeks. They can just write to us there to, you know, give us like a small CV, or just to tell us why exactly they want to join and what they want to learn, because for us it's very important to make sure that they are the ones that are having the best experience, because the organization grows when the people grow. And we are trying to make induction programs with all the volunteers, that we put them to work on what they would like to work on and what they would like to, you know, have as a full experience. Some of them, they just want to, you know, do communication stuff or to organize events or something. But others, they really want to, you know, specialize themselves into EU policies. And on the second category, so to say, we are having indeed people that are still students. So we are taking them to work directly with experts in the fields that interest them. So that this way they have a mentor and a shadow, and they're also being empowered. They're, you know, contributing to articles. So they're, you know, writing articles together, reports together, organizing debates together. And for those that are already working in the field and they don't have, you know, time for a full volunteering experience, so to say, they are becoming affiliated experts. And in this sense, the affiliated experts are actually the ones that, you know, they provide basically the guiding principles and policies of our organization. So they're the ones that are, you know, attending conferences, discussing to people, explaining to them. And we have experts from, you know, on all different EU policies, from energy security to cyber security. And they're well spread across the European Union and even in the US. So we have people from there. And yeah, it's a case by case situation, but we are always you know, accepting applications, because we always have people that are writing to us, and it's very interesting, because it's not only about, you know, the debates, but as I was telling you, we have you know, projects. We are having also projects for the upcoming elections, as we had last for the last elections as well. Empowering people to go to vote. We have even a project that was with a grant from the European Commission to go in the local communities for that. So it's just about, you know, trying to train the trainers and to build a community. So people can join us very easily by searching us on the social media or on Google. And we're really looking forward to welcoming them as soon as they want.
So thank you so much. I just one last close question. The future. Maybe you have a very close some action. Maybe you can say about one challenge for your organization, for Europools in this time. So maybe we can close our meeting like this, looking for the future.
Yes, well, for the future, I think that the challenge that all the NGOs have, you know, is the resources that they need to expand and to grow. And this is a constant challenge for all the NGOs. So here, you know, we are always extremely open to discuss with people that want to support our cause and, you know, that want to wish to have more information about the EU policies, or they wish to organize debates with us and so on. So this is actually one of the ongoing and, you know, future for sure challenge that we have. So the resources part. So we really encourage people to dedicate resources to the organizations the same way as I do as well to other organizations. So it's you know, sharing is caring. And for the rest, I think that the challenges that we will have for the upcoming year would be, as I was telling you, that we want to go local to see, because that will be indeed a challenge, since you have you know, many volunteers which are not, you know, all spread across the country, but they're perhaps, you know, just gathered together in a community, mainly in Bucharest or in other cities. It will be extremely tricky, I have to say. But it's not something that will, you know, really stop us. But indeed, it will be tricky. And also because since we are having, you know, more and more people coming, they have more and more ideas. So it will be a bit complicated to, you know, to deal with all the elements that we want to put on the table. So to, you know, prioritize them, as you know, resources, human resources this time are also essential. So I think we're having the same challenges as all NGOs have, to be honest. So it's not something different. But yeah, this would be like our challenge would be to, you know, as I was mentioning, going local and how exactly we're going to do that.
So I wish you a very, very successful project and just have a very great people who joined to you this time. So we will follow you on please also our listeners to follow your organization Europools, and we will check how it's going in this project. Thank you so much for your knowledge, for your time spending with us, and I hope thank you so much. Okay, I think so.
Thanks to you, Roxana, as well.
Thank you so much.